Peace to you upon whom God's favor rests. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, recent exegetical work has made of the Magi rather improbable protagonists in their own story. In fact, the last few decades have seen them stripped of almost everything they had worked so hard to obtain over the last 20 centuries. Their names and their number, their crowns and their condescension, even the generosity of their gifts has been transformed by the alchemy of the exegetes. There seems to be little left to say. They weren't particularly wise. They weren't particularly good at finding baby kings. And when they did find him, they brought life-threatening danger rather than life-exalting glory to the child. But they did go. They did go. And that's what bothers me. It haunts me, that thought. But they did go. It plays itself over and over again in my head like the chorus of We Three Kings with a long oh, oh in front of it. Oh, oh, but they did go. And there's something about that fact that makes me less than satisfied with conclusions about the significance of our text along the lines of Mark Allen Powell's. Matthew's readers, Powell has argued, are expected to know that the kings in Scripture honor God's chosen one, but now, when that one arrives, the kings of the earth do not respond. The gifts and the worship that kings would offer, according to Scripture, are brought by Magi instead. Magi, Matthew's readers are expected to ask, where are the kings? The point of the story, then, is that when Jesus came into the world, he was worshiped not by kings, but by servants. It is certainly true that Jesus was not worshiped by kings when he was born, but by servants. But can this really be the point of the story? Blessed are the lowly, for they seek, knock, and find. But were there no lowly ones in all Jerusalem? The Jerusalem that is troubled by the news of the birth, but that remains in Jerusalem with their old-born king? If Matthew's epiphany message for us is that this promised one will be worshiped by the lowly rather than by the mighty, why is there no procession of faithful, lowly Jerusalemites following that star right along with the Magi? No one from Jerusalem made a move, but the Magi did go. Perhaps it will prove more fruitful to consider what they did in spite of who they were, rather than to seek some quality of character that explains why they did what they did. Perhaps for all his historical inaccuracies with respect to our Magi, Kierkegaard brings us closer to the point of our passage. Although the scribes could explain where the Messiah should be born, Kierkegaard muses, they remained quite unperturbed in Jerusalem. They did not accompany the wise men to seek him. Similarly, we may know the whole of Christianity, yet make no movement. The power that moved heaven and earth leaves us completely unmoved. What a difference. The three kings had only a rumor to go by, but it moved them to make that long journey. The scribes were much better informed, much better versed. They sat and studied the scriptures like so many dons, but it did not make them move. Who had the more truth? the three kings who followed a rumor, or the scribes who remained sitting with all their knowledge. What a vexation it must have been for the kings that the scribes who gave them the news they wanted remained quiet in Jerusalem. We are being mocked, the kings might have thought. For indeed, it is a serious self-contradiction that the scribes should have the knowledge and yet remain still. It is just as serious as if a person knows about Christianity and his own life experiences express the opposite. We are tempted to suppose he wishes to befool us, unless we admit that he is only befooling himself. Who had the more truth? Perhaps it is truth that we should be asking about this morning, not wisdom, not power or lowliness, not gold, frankincense, or myrrh. We have epiphany knowledge. But do we have epiphany truth? Do we know the whole of Christianity yet make no movement? Do we proclaim the good news yet remain quiet at home? Do we pray that the Lord will make himself manifest to the world, yet live lives that manifest only the worldly lordship of self? Do we rejoice with exceedingly great joy to find the Lord of earth and heaven swaddled in bread and wine? Will his real presence make itself known in us today? Who has the more truth? They did go. They had little to go on, but they did go. They made some wrong turns, but they did go. They aroused the child's first enemy, but they did go. Jerusalem, and the rest of the world, it seems, remained unchanged, unmoved, both before and after, but they did go. And they saw, and they worshiped. Powell is correct that Matthew nowhere interprets this coming of the Magi as a fulfillment of Scripture. It was supposed to be kings who came, but it was the Magi who actually did. Out of the mouths of babes and Magi. If this baby will draw all people to himself, why not Magi? Why not you and me? The Magi do not travel afar to see the epiphany of their newborn king. Their very traveling is a manifestation, an epiphany of the power of him whose star they follow. What signs brought you to this place? This place in your life, the place where you live and serve, this place, Concordia Seminary, this place, the house of the child's father, this place, the Lord's table. How has the truth of his epiphany transformed your journey from wandering to worship? How has his truth made itself plain in your offering of what you are and what you have to him? It's truth that we should be asking about this morning, not wisdom, not power, not even the power of lowliness, but truth, his truth. And how is it possible that even his truth can change our very low, very common, very non-royal, very foolish lives into the very epiphany of his glory? Well, as George MacDonald would say, let him do it, and perhaps you will know. If you never know yet, there it will be. May the Lord of surprises, who startled the Magi, who rippled the Jordan, and who delighted the guests with his own mysterious vintage, reveal himself to you in ways that you couldn't have anticipated, and surprise you again with who he is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.